Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I'm not going to explain or justify why a different administration shut down a different investigation, but this investigation, like we talked about, is being done, I assure you, for the right reasons, given not only what President Trump directed in the executive order, but the reality of the industry right now.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche is the Justice Department and USDA held a joint press conference to intensify pressure on the beef packing industry, saying federal investigators actively examining possible antitrust violations in cattle and beef markets. He said the department has reviewed more than 3 million documents and contacted hundreds of ranchers, cattlemen, producers, and processors as part of the ongoing probe. Now, the administration framed the issue in terms of concentration, and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said Big Four packers now control about 85% of U.S. beef processing, leaves ranchers with fewer selling options and less bargaining leverage than in earlier decades. But Tyson Foods posting stronger second quarter results overall, but wait a minute, beef remained the company's weak spot as tight cattle supplies and high livestock costs continued to pressure margins. Tyson said second quarter sales rose to $13.65 billion. And while it still expects its beef segment to post an adjusted operating loss of $350 million to $500 million in fiscal 2026. So where's the profit coming from? Better performing protein business helped offset that drag, and Tyson expects fiscal 2026 adjusted operating income of $250 to $300 million in pork, $1.9 to $2.05 billion in chicken, and another $1.25 to $1.35 billion in prepared foods. Management credited chicken and prepared foods with driving momentum and market share gains in the quarter. Transportation pressure building across several key farm freight channels from the Panama Canal to the U.S.-Mexico border. Latest developments point to shifting export routes, higher congestion risk, and continuing cost pressure for grain, fertilizer, and energy shipments. Surface Transportation Board approved a proposed short line and bridge project at Eagle Pass, Texas, where Green Eagle Railroad wants to build a second rail crossing to Mexico. Eagle Pass, the top gateway for overland soybean exports to Mexico, but the project still depends on Union Pacific and BNSF agreeing to move traffic onto the new line. And U.S. export inspections turned in another strong corn week, while soybean movement eased and wheat improved modestly. USDA said total grain inspected for export during the week ending April 30th reached an equivalent of 120.3 million bushels across major commodities, up from the previous week and above the same week last year. Again, corn leading the report, soybeans moving lower, wheat inspections moving higher, and sorghum inspections remain solid. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
For too long, farmers, ranchers, and American consumers have suffered at the hands of consolidated power.
Shad Sullivan is a West Texas rancher on why there's an issue with packer concentration.
Just in the last generation, we have lost 665,000 beef cattle in operations, which is 50% down from 1980. We have also lost 86,000 farmer feeders, which is 1,000 head and below. This has been driven by years of mergers and acquisitions of multinational corporations and foreign meat conglomerates. That has created a level of economic and political power that too often escapes oversight and accountability. As a result, unrestrained market control by these powerful corporations has increased input costs for producers, decreased profitability, and forced many to become price takers. While at the same time, this market control drives up costs for consumers. President Trump's recognition that this level of concentration has possibly led to market control and manipulation, political leverage, and vulnerabilities in our supply chains and food security is crucial to upholding our sovereignty and safety in this nation. Restoring a fair marketplace, rebuilding a resilient American food system, and protecting the food security of this nation are critical in securing an integral marketplace that strengthens rural America, supports local economies, and ensures consumer affordability. Today signals that these concentrations concerns are being taken seriously. We respect the process, and we applaud the Trump administration for taking steps forward to restore a fair and competitive marketplace for American producers and consumers. I will reiterate that food security is national security, and I submit to you today, where there is beef, there is freedom.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
I think that perhaps more than ever before in American history, we now realize the threat to our sovereignty, to our freedom, to our liberty, as we look in total at the consolidation in America, but by also perhaps the most biggest priority, the biggest priority would be the consolidation at the hands of foreign countries and foreign-owned companies. And we're not here today to talk about, for example, China owning U.S. farmland. But in 1983, China owned 2,000 acres. Today, they own almost 300,000 acres. 20 years ago, there were 40 fertilizer companies providing nitrogen fertilizer. Today, there are three. Seeds the same. It is a national security issue. And at the same time, we're losing thousands of these producers every year. So I think when you take all of that in total, you take an extremely aggressive president who wants to stand by rural America, return prosperity to rural America, stand by his ranchers and his farmers, make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep that way of life alive and vibrant and vigorous. I think that would explain why we're doubling down today.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche.
We're not standing up here announcing the results of the investigation. We're putting a finer point on what President Trump said last year in his executive order, which is this is a real problem. It's a national security problem. It's a price problem for American consumers, and it's a problem for the industry, for the hardworking ranchers that have existed for five generations, six generations in this country. So that's the reason behind what we're talking about today.
Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The effects and the impact of climate change are real.
Interesting exchange between Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro and the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, in an appropriation subcommittee hearing.
You probably did see the report on Antarctica and the glaciers and melting and all this. It was an extraordinary documentary over this past weekend. This is an administration that is hell-bent, in my view, on ignoring science. Just 2 weeks ago, you reportedly attended a climate deniers conference. And in your remarks, you said, quote, "For those who wanted to criticize my appearance here before this group, it really shows the desperation of just how many walls have collapsed of this last line of defense," end quote. In Connecticut, we have seen increasing heat waves, extreme precipitation, devastating floods, impacting everything, farming, school closures, damaging homes and businesses. Climate change is harming our health and our environment, but is also harming Americans financially. This administration, however, is running the playbook on making the problem worse, focusing on policies that are handouts to the fossil fuel companies, like reversing the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, rolling back fuel emission standards for motor vehicles, and reducing methane leak monitoring requirements. The budget proposal reads like a climate change deniers manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans, to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case. You familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
You know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want
me
to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second. And wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me
questions.
You're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny you want
no,
to.
No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no.
This,
you, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your Supreme
you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you're,
you
you're
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science. Now you're threatening to defund it.
Oh my God! No, you don't fund
because
science.
You don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine is. Your
deniers.
Message to our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Today we are here to talk about our progress here at the Justice Department to hold meat packers accountable.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanch on an antitrust investigation into meatpacking operations.
As you all know, last November, the president tasked the department to investigate the costs and prices of beef. As a result, we prioritized investigating potential antitrust violations in U.S. cattle and beef markets. In the beef industry, the big four processors control over 85% of the beef processing market. Two of the big four are primarily foreign-owned. Multiple plant closures across the country, the current market structure, and high concentration in the industry indicate anti-competitive activity. Since the president's executive order, the department has been actively investigating with a review of over 3 million documents, hundreds of industry participants, including ranchers, cattlemen, producers, and processors, have been contacted and many interviewed as part of this ongoing investigation. More broadly, the department has also executed on the president's executive order to stop anti-competitive behavior in the broader food supply market. Later this week, we will be announcing an historic settlement that will directly affect the prices of proteins like chicken, pork, and turkey. This business model allows competitors to exchange competitively sensitive information on every aspect of the protein industry and has raised the prices on chicken, raised the prices on pork, and raised the prices on turkey. The department is also working closely with Secretary Rollins and the Department of Agriculture. We've signed a memorandum of understanding that allows us to share information aimed at protecting competition in agricultural inputs like seeds and fertilizer. But there is more work to do, and we need your help.
Speaking of help, there to help out the Department of Justice, USDA Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
He's only been on the job for, I think, a couple of weeks at this point. And the moment I called and asked for his time and his focus and his team's effort on this issue facing our country, without hesitation, Todd, you said we're all in at the Department of Justice. And so here we are today and just couldn't be more grateful.
Says the administration is united.
Todd, Peter, and I each serve the American public in different capacities across the executive branch at the pleasure of our boss, President Donald Trump. But we are united by a single mission to protect our great American farmers and ranchers, the American way of life, and the American consumer. President Trump has been the greatest champion in American history for our farmers and ranchers, from record-breaking investments in rural America through the working families tax cuts to opening up the global market, now 18 new trade deals for our incredible American ag products, and to most recently implementing a plan to fortify the American beef industry. And these efforts couldn't be more timely for America's ranchers who are seeing a historic low herd size. This morning, I'll talk a little bit about and summarize that herd size crisis facing our ranchers, but how the ongoing investigation into our big four packers, what that means for the larger policy context, and certainly what it means for national security.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The most likely interest rate environment for 2026 offers some relief on operating credit, but continued pressure on land, facilities, and other capital-intensive financing.
Mark Rosenbaum is with Terrain.
Expectations for 2026 point toward cautious easing, with the federal funds rate trending toward roughly 3%, down from 3.64% in February and the recent peak of 5.33% in 2023 to 2024. This provides welcome relief compared with recent highs, but it is not a return to the ultra-cheap credit environment of the 2010s. Rate cuts are likely to be slow and measured, balancing the progress made on inflation and the health of the labor market. As a result, lower rates may slow the growth in interest expense, but total borrowing costs can still rise due to higher input costs. Backgrounding and feedlot operations will likely feel the benefit most, as operating capital turns quickly and interest accrues rapidly on large balances. Still, management decisions often matter more than the rate itself. Lowering average borrowed balances, improving marketing timing, and coordinating purchases and sales can reduce costs as much as modest rate cuts. Lenders will remain disciplined, with credit access depending on cash flow strength, working capital, and risk management, not just falling rates. Long-term rates are unlikely to fall meaningfully in 2026 if recession fears remain low. Markets increasingly view the economy's long-run neutral rate as higher than in the 2010s, reflecting stronger economic growth and sustained labor demand. Even if inflation continues to cool, 10-year expected inflation remains elevated near 2.4%. Investors demand compensation for uncertainty over the next decade. Persistent federal deficits also prop up long-term rates by increasing the supply of long-dated treasury securities, which requires higher yields to attract buyers. Until deficits move materially lower relative to GDP, this dynamic is likely to keep long-term rates elevated. For cattle producers, this means financing tied to land, facilities, and other long-lived assets is likely to remain sticky even if operating rates ease. The 2026 rate environment favors discipline over leverage. Liquidity and working capital should remain top priorities, supported by conservative budgets and regular stress testing. Producers should review their debt structure with lenders, as periods of modest easing can still create opportunities to refinance debt. Higher long-term rates raise the bar for debt-financed expansion. Consider the overall U.S. economy over the past 5 years. During COVID-19, borrowing near 3% to 4%, while inflation exceeded 9%, made expansion relatively easy, along with massive government stimulus. Today, with borrowing costs closer to 6% to 7%, and inflation near 3%, the economics are far less forgiving. To keep expectations realistic, consider the math. A 50 basis point drop in operating rates from 6.75% to 6.25% saves roughly $2,500 per $500,000 borrowed annually, or $10,000 on a $2 million operating line. Helpful, yes, but not a financing reset. Bottom line, modest easing in short-term rates can support cash flow, but long-term borrowing costs are likely to stay elevated. Profitability in 2026 will depend less on where rates settle and more on how efficiently capital is used.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Department of Commerce continues to work around the clock to implement President Trump's America First trade policy.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Under Section 232, the Commerce Department is taking action on steel, aluminum, copper, pharmaceuticals, autos, semiconductors, and investigating other sectors to protect, reshore, and revive manufacturing. These actions have led to multi-billion dollar commitments to reshore steel and aluminum manufacturing and restore American excellence in critical industries. In the first year of his second term, President Trump has dramatically reduced the trade deficit, lowering imports and increasing exports. Exports went to $3.4 trillion, which is a 6% increase from 2024. And in 2025, the trade deficit was the lowest we've seen in 16 years. I'm proud of the role I played in negotiating our most important trade agreement, including the largest deal ever done, which was our trade deal and investment deal with the European Union. BIS is working hand in hand with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've arranged historic agreements to lower drug prices for American consumers, negotiating most favored nation deals, and ensuring Americans pay the lowest prices for innovative medicines. As a result of these deals, additionally, we have secured over $400 billion in commitments to reshore pharmaceuticals and manufacturing in America, those key pharmaceuticals. The budget includes a $215 million increase to BIS above the 2026 enacted level, which supports the hiring of hundreds of new special agent law enforcement officials to address the theft of American technological leadership by bad actors. These officers are critical to protecting and defending America's innovation. In ITA, we are driving record foreign direct investment, cracking down on harmful foreign trade practices, and supporting our 1.3 million American jobs with export and investment deals. In 2025, ITA helped Boeing, Wabtec, and other major American companies secure a record $244 billion in contracts with foreign public buyers. This exceeds the $17 billion that the Biden administration did in its first year. The budget includes a $10 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for trade enforcement in ITA and $100 million for the United States Investment Accelerator. The budget slashes unnecessary wasteful spending at NIST and other groups and eliminates the manufacturing extension partnership, which I'm sure we will talk about. At the USPTO, we are rapidly modernizing and leveraging technology to cut classification prep dramatically. We want to get rid of the massive backlog that we had and do a much better job. And finally, we have launched a new era of modernization of NOAA, where we're in the process of transferring the agency's IT system from a decades-old hardwired technology to the modern distributed cloud. This update will improve our forecasting capabilities, transform the way our forecasters do their jobs, and will make Americans safer. The budget also includes a $135 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for NOAA shipbuilding and our improvement of unmanned systems programs. For far too long, our nation was mired in status quo, leaving American consumers and producers alike with unfair, poorly implemented trade deals, outsourced jobs, and paltry investments that failed to meet our country's potential. President Trump is committed to ushering in a golden age of domestic commerce and bringing jobs back to the United States, and that's exactly what he's done in his first 15 months of this administration. I look forward to working with you as the department continues to spur economic growth and secure unprecedented prosperity for the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.